computer. Okay, so we are in the book of Acts. Good morning to all of you. The internet's not working this morning, so I am on my phone doing it again. Apparently lightning hit something in the building here for two modules, and so the internet is out. So hopefully we're on the internet because I've got people signed in, so I know we're on. So hopefully my phone hangs in for the time and we get internet for the whole time. But this morning we're going to do something, I always say a little different, but it may not actually be a little different because I'm going to share, and in case you missed it, before we get started. So we're going to be in Acts now, and I'm going to Zoom. At least my plan is to Zoom for the remainder of the year because I know people are still a little troubled about coming in, some of them. We've got a full house here today. I hope that we can get more people to come in over time, but we'll see how that works out. So anyway, I'm going to do that. I didn't put them up from the last time I taught. I've got them, but I needed a high-speed internet. I didn't have it where I was, so I'll do it when I get home. I'll place both today's lesson and the recorded video session, and last time, the recorded video session up. I'll do them both this afternoon. So you'll have them there if you want to review them, or if you missed and you want to send it to somebody, that's fine too. Whatever you want to do is good. I would recommend you send the link though, not try to send the file because it'll be too big for that. So I'm also going to send out this week a reminder on how to get onto the class website, you know, that has everybody listed, and you need to have the app. And when you have the app, you just sign in with your address. So I will send a note out. Your email address. I'll send a note out to you, and the note I send will be the address you use to sign in. So that's the address I have. So if you have multiple emails, use the one I'm sending because that's the one that's registered in my system. I can change it if you want to be changed, but anyway, I'll send it to the ones I have. Okay, so in the basic outline, we're really crossing between the second and the third session of Acts, where we're moving out of the time where the gospel was spread in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. We're beginning to move now into the uttermost parts of the earth, or everywhere else, as you might say. And all of that really comes about through the Apostle Paul. And we're going to see today that conversion of Saul. And we'll talk about it. I'm not going to get through chapter 9. I'll get as far as I can get. But there's some things that need to be said first. And then chapter 9 has a lot of information in it. So it may take me two sessions to get through it. So just bear with me. Hopefully it'll be some stuff you're not familiar with. I do want to talk, though, before we get started about Afghanistan. I know a lot of people have asked me questions about that or Pakistan, other questions about Pakistan. So if you can see on this map, I can't do the pointer, but you see Afghanistan is right here. So Iran, so Israel's right there, and you have to go through Iraq and Iran to get to Pakistan. Pakistan is on the other side of Iran, and you'll notice that China is right there as well. And so there's really only a small country, one of the stands, that stands between China and Iran. And China has cozied up to Iran, and they're beginning to cozy up to Afghanistan as well. And so we understand a couple of things about that. Two things I want to talk about. One is just the country of Afghanistan and kind of what it is and why it's important. And then secondly, the foreign policy implications of related to prophecy. I'm not going to talk about what's going on. I mean, it's a horrible situation. And people are left. People are outside the gates. People are inside the gates. There's some confusion as to how many Americans are still in the country. Some estimates say between 5 and 10,000. I don't know. I wonder how many Americans could be there, but many of them are blue passport holding Americans, just like all of us are. And, you know, they're getting to the gate and the State Department's not letting them in. For what reason? I don't know. I guess we don't really understand. I'll say normally all of these kind of evacuations are handled by the military, not the State Department. State Department is ill-equipped to do this. You know, they're considered about, they worry about what other people think about us. The military just does its job. If it's to get them out, they go get them and they get them out. And that's just not happening right now. And we could talk for an hour about why that may be the case, but we're going to see more of that unfold in the next few days. I think August 31st is the deadline that we have. Whether we're out sooner or not, I don't know. Whether we've got Americans that are going to be held hostage, I don't know. I suspect the Americans they've put in the hotel now are going to be held hostage, and we're going to send them a boatload of money, and they're going to let them go. I mean, that's what happened in Iran. That's probably what's going to happen here. But we'll see. But Afghanistan itself is an interesting country. Afghanistan is a very tribal country, and it's made up of tribes that don't like each other very well. But there's a couple of tribes like the Pashtuns and others that are there that cross country lines. The country of Afghanistan is not a historic country. I mean, it's been around for a long time, but part of Pakistan is Pashtun, all the mountains of Pakistan. We remember that when Osama bin Laden was doing his work, you know, he would do his work, and then he'd flee to Pakistan and hide in the mountains, and nobody could find him. Well, that's essentially what these Afghani Taliban do. They would come into the country, create their havoc, and then if the Americans would take action, they would sneak back to Pakistan and go in their caves. And so that's actually what's happened. Pakistan has aided and abetted this. It's really a faction of Pakistan that is run by the Secret Service, the ISI of Pakistan. And we've not done much about that as a country. We're, you know, Pakistan has nuclear weapons, so we have sort of left them alone. You know, it's a country that is now, the vacuum being created by the U.S. is being filled by two people. It's being filled by the Chinese, who are trying to help them with infrastructure, and they'll work with the Taliban. It's also being helped by the Russians, who are after the same thing. So the Russians will help with armament and defense, although, you know, you might understand they're probably one of the best armed countries now in the Middle East because of all the hardware the U.S. left behind. I saw a little video the other day of them in a Black Hawk, and they were moving it along the tarmac, but they didn't know how to get it off the ground. So, you know, they can drive Humvees, though. So why we don't go bomb every one of those, I don't know. It seems to me like the smart thing to do. But, you know, we'll leave that to the generals to figure out, I guess, or whoever is doing it. So, you know, we had a lot of national pride on the line with Afghanistan because we've been there for nearly 20 years, if you can believe that. And, you know, I know Trump wanted to get us out. His plan to get us out was a little different. It had quid pro quos on the part of the Taliban. They would do and not do certain things before we would advance that. That hasn't been the case today. We've just pulled everybody out. And again, I won't get into all the detail about that, but we've taken a black eye regarding that. And so let me just say, Pakistan related to prophecy. So Afghanistan historically was part of what was Persia, and that part of old Persia that's Afghanistan was all of the eastern part of Afghanistan. But Pakistan is on the west side, and they had parts of Pakistan as well. So for all practical purposes, all of Afghanistan and about half of Pakistan were part of the old Persian Empire, which means that, you know, there's a lot of alliances there, a lot of old alliances between some of these tribes. And what we're seeing here is the Islamic Caliphate beginning to come back to life. Now they're fighting because ISIS is there and they don't like ISIS, but the Caliphate is part of the Persian or Iranian thing. So, you know, they'll fight it out and that's fine. They can kill each other all they want. But, you know, we want to get all of our people out before they do. But they've filled the vacuum, and that's not good because we, you know, we really have lost control of what's happening there. But again, we're beginning to see things that are prophetically important. Iraq is already under the domination of Iran. We know that. All of the militias are under Iran. The government, which is still claiming to be neutral, gives total deference to Iran, because they recognize that they're in power only because Iran is letting them stay in power, and they could take them over in a moment's notice. And I think all of that is setting the stage. And you might ask, so Well, who cares? You know, that's so far away from us. Why does it matter? And from probably a political standpoint, other than the fact that it creates a breeding ground for terrorists, which is one of the reasons why we went in the first place, they're not important to us strategically because they're far away. Now, as they begin to get nuclear weapons, Pakistan has them already. So does India, by the way, which is just on the other side of Afghanistan. Pakistan has them. Of course, Russia has them. Iran is about 2 months from what everybody says from being able to produce them themselves. Russia has nuclear weapons, not being said much, but Israel also has nuclear weapons. And we don't even know what all nuclear weapons Israel has because they've been pretty quiet about it because we can't keep a secret. So they've been real quiet about what they have. But believe me, they're geniuses at this kind of stuff. So I'm sure they have what it takes to protect them. But aside from the political side of it or the prophetic side, the political side says our allies, once we pull out in the manner we've pulled out, our allies don't trust us. I mean, we made commitments, but we dishonored them. And you know, Israel's got to be wondering, well, if they're going to pull out of Afghanistan that way, what does that say for us? You know, we've always said that we have your back. And if you've been to Israel, you see the T-shirts that say, don't worry, America, Israel has your back. But that may be coming more true than we'd like to believe. Prophecy says Israel will be isolated. They're becoming isolated now. Israel will be on their own, and they're beginning to be on their own today. So our allies don't trust us now, or they're fearful of us, and our enemies don't fear us any longer. If a two-bit Taliban army can do this to us, and understand, we have total control. We could wipe them out. We could kill, I mean, we may not get them all, but I mean, you could kill a big number of them with all the weapons we have. But now we've pulled out of the Air Force base, so we don't have any strategic launching points there anymore. It's going to be more difficult for us to do policing in the Middle East. And maybe we don't want to do that, but it creates other problems for us. But think about China. China has been pretty bold in taking over Hong Kong, but they haven't really forced Hong Kong to their knees. They've done a lot of political pressure, and they've also been sailing the South China Sea. What does it say for them to be able to go take Taiwan? Personally, I think they'll do that. I think it won't be too long before they do. And what are we going to do?
Nothing.
We're going to do nothing. Our stuff is over in the Middle East. We're going to try to reposition it. We did sail a couple of cruisers through Sea of China this past week. But, you know, an Arleigh Burke-class missile, it's like a gnat going through there compared to, you know, what China could do. So I don't know. We're trying to wave the flag and sail through there. But if China takes over Taiwan, my guess is there's nothing we can do about it, nothing we will do about it. And so I think from a lot of perspectives, it diminishes our role. We're out of the Middle East now in all practical purposes. You know, we've pulled out of Syria. We've pulled out of Iraq. We're pulling out of Afghanistan. It won't be long before all we have is a flat top over there a carrier. Yeah. Thank you. A carrier is probably all we'll have over there, you know, with planes. And what are we going to do? I don't know. I guess it remains to be seen. But here's the thing that's troubling from a prophetic standpoint. Russia, when they took Crimea, has a pretty direct line now to the Middle East, land bridge. Ukraine may be next, or at least the western part of Ukraine, which is connected directly to Russia. All the stands there, the Kyrgyzstan and Tajikistan and all the rest of them, are really satellites of Russia right now. And they're also very Muslim. So it's not hard to understand that Russia will have a direct land bridge to the Middle East. China is working with Iran to build a road for commerce. Well, guess what? Now that they're in Afghanistan, that road can go right through Afghanistan and connect to China. So China will have a direct path to the Middle East. And I guess that's okay for business, but it's also the way they move armies. You know, they move armies on highways, and if they've got them, they do. And now they don't have to put them on boats and truck them all the way around the world to get there. And they can position them over on the eastern part of China, or they can do joint drills with the Afghanis. You know, all the scenarios that play out. And of course, Russia has got great ties now into Syria, and Russia and Turkey are plotting what to do with Libya right now. You've probably not seen it in the press, but Libya is kind of in chaos, and Russia and Turkey are trying to help them become a country again. And when they do, of course, they'll become a Muslim caliphate type country, as Turkey is today. So all of that bodes ill for prophecy, because if you don't understand prophecy, I'll show you in a minute what Ezekiel 38 and 39 says. But we also, one thing we have to understand is us pulling out of Afghanistan also validates the understanding that the U.S. is not in the end time prophecy. Now, we've always wondered why that is. And maybe, you know, one of my thoughts is, well, we'll be subject to the rapture. So a whole lot of us will be out of here by the time this war takes place. But another thing is, if we don't have any military strategic presence, it just invites the others to set up what they want to set up in the country. So you see what you see, but by the U.S. pulling out at all, what you don't see is the U.S. becoming a factor over there, which means the U.S. is not going to be a political factor where all of this takes place, except for Israel. And we don't know what, we just don't understand what's going to happen with Israel. So again, I've covered a lot of this. Russia and Turkey are plotting a takeover. The country of Libya is called Put in the geographic table in Genesis 10. It lists all the countries of the world that were formed after Noah's 10 sons kind of dispersed. We also see the digital currency taking a big stride now. You can hardly go into any place, even in the U.S., and pay with cash. You know, they expect you to pay with a credit card now. Even $6 or $7, they don't say, you know, credit cards not accepted like they used to. They take credit cards. And so we're seeing a shift away from cash into a currency-less environment. So whether it's the U.S. dollar or whether it is, Dogecoin or Bitcoin or any of the other contenders, I don't know. But China and a lot of people are trying to dethrone the U.S. dollar from being the stable currency of the world. And we're not helping a whole lot. This situation didn't help a whole lot either. We've talked about the fact that the globalists are planning to help set up a one world order. And whether it starts with health or starts with arms control or however it starts, us being weak in the world's eyes diminishes us as a player. I mean, let's be frank about it. In the U.S., there's two things that stood in the way of, I'll say the left, but I'll say really the globalists taking control. And that was the American Christian. And the second one is the American Second Amendment, one U.S. first crowd. And that includes Trump, but it's not just Trump. It's, you know, a lot of us who kind of say, well, come and take it, you know. And those are the two things that are stopping what's happening right now. You see in school boards all over the U.S., people are saying, we don't want this stuff taught in our schools. And they're standing up. And maybe we'll have an effect on that. Hopefully the next election will help. I mean, you know, Obama said elections have consequences. And if we don't see that now, we really need to wake up, because it does have consequences, even ones we don't expect. So Russia and China are replacing the U.S. as the go-to partner all over the Middle East, except for Israel. Now, Israel is going to have to strengthen their alliance with Russia, because when Netanyahu was replaced as a minister, he had a good relationship with Putin. He was from Russian extraction. Well, the new guy's not. The new guy doesn't have a relationship with Putin. And we know that when Israel tried to attack Damascus to attack the stuff that Iran was putting there, Russia shot down some of their drones. They didn't do that when Netanyahu was there. And the reason is he agreed not to do it. But when Netanyahu was gone, that agreement was gone. Now, you don't see that in the press, but that's happening. So Israel has to rebuild that alliance. If it's going to happen, they have to do it. But what we do see from a prophetic alliance is all of the countries that form the Gog and Magog alliance are coming into place. They're getting their alliances with Russia and China. They're beginning to, you know, be more hostile towards Israel. You can see it. Iran is worried about that. And we're worried about the chaos left in Afghanistan. And we should be. We should worry about every American killed there, whether it's our Marine or a Navy medic, or whether it's tourists, or whether it's people that are in country as missionaries. I mean, there's, I don't know how many Christians are there, but there's a lot of them. And some of them are American and some of them are Afghani. And, you know, we've got to try to get them out. And what a lot of people are doing, secular people, not government people, are actually trying to find ways to extract or smuggle out or build underground railroads to get these people out. And we've just got to pray that that's successful. I don't think there's any question that when the last plane leaves the airport, there'll still be Americans left. How we get them out, if we get them out, I don't know. I'm just hoping and praying that that's the case. But we should be worried about also the wider and deeper implications. And that's the ones I've just talked about. So it's kind of an eye-opening affair. Now, let me just do a quick map review with you. You can see these on the map, but you know where Iran is. Okay, Iran's here. You know where Syria is. Syria's right over here. And of course, this is tiny little Israel right here on the coast. You know where Afghanistan is. You know where Turkey is. I'll mention in a minute, but where Paul is from, Antioch. Tarsus. He's from Tarsus, which is a little north of Antioch. That's right here in this bend, close to this bend in Turkey, just away from Syria a little bit. We know where Pakistan is. Pakistan is right down here. So Afghanistan and Pakistan are right next to India, and India hates Pakistan, and they both have nuclear weapons. So who knows what's going to happen there? But, you know, that's not our worry particularly right now, at least right now it isn't. Sudan, which is another player, is down here. Ethiopia, biblical Ethiopia, by the way, is not here. Biblical Ethiopia is up here a little higher. It's kind of where Sudan is. Perhaps the upper part of Ethiopia, maybe Eritrea, is part of biblical Ethiopia. All the stands we know that are all over this part of the world, you can kind of see, you can see where all of this big alliance. Turkey, I mean, Russia's right up here. Russia's here. Ukraine's here. You can kind of see all the alliance around here is beginning to be solid Muslim and connected with Iran and China. You'll not see that in the news, but that's happening. And of course, Libya is over here on the other side of Egypt. I didn't find a map that had it on there. I'll show it to you in a minute. But that is part of ancient Put. All of these are mentioned in Ezekiel 38 and 39. Is part of Gog and Magog. And this is what that map looks like. Rosh is Russia. Magog is the Islamic Alliance, all of those stands. Persia is Iran and parts of Afghanistan. So you're going to see this Persia, this is current Persia, but the biblical Persia really goes further over this way. And whether it's Magog or Persia, it's still going to be part of this alliance. Libya, Tunisia, and Algeria are part of what was biblical Put. I worry a little bit about Tunisia. Tunisia is pretty neutral right now, but there's beginning to be stirrings in Tunisia. I worry about that. I worry about Kaylee. Hopefully, if things get bad over there, you know, she'll get out. But I don't know where that goes. I don't know if it goes quick or doesn't go quick. But Kush. Biblical Kush is Sudan and Ethiopia, part of Ethiopia. It's down here in Russia. And of course, Israel's this tiny little thing. One thing you see is Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, and Lebanon are not part of this alliance, which is kind of interesting because this is the outer ring. Some people say that this inner ring will be killed off by Israel during the Psalm 83 war. And I don't know when that war, other people think that war has already happened. So I don't know what that stands, but at least in the Gog and Magog, they're not a player. Maybe it's the Abraham Accords. Maybe it's the goodwill that Israel has shown them, and the political and commercial ties that they have. I don't really understand. But Israel is tiny Israel. And you can just imagine, what they are thinking right now. Again, this is a different map, and it does show Libya over here on the side, but I'm not going to dwell on this one. None of these maps show exactly what I wanted, so I had to put a couple in here to get what I wanted to be shown. This is kind of the invasion path, and I won't spend time on this, but you can see the invasion path all comes against Israel, and they gather in what's called the Jezreel Valley. And that's the valley, if any of you have been to Israel, and you've gone up north of Galilee, and you've been up to the, place where, Megiddo. Thank you. You've been up to Megiddo, and you stood on the mountain of Megiddo, which is about 10 generations, and you look south. I should have put a picture in here because I've got a couple of those. Look south, you see a giant valley, and you see Syria is off to the left. Syria is off to the right. Nazareth is off to the left. All the mountains where the judges, Deborah and all of them took place are down there. And you can see this giant fertile valley that runs directly down into Israel, down through the Galilee and directly into Jerusalem. And that's where these armies of the world gather. And I won't go into Gog and Magog. It's kind of an interesting story all by itself. But these land bridges build the path for these armies to assemble. And whether it happens today, tomorrow, a year from now, 5 years from now, I don't know. But it is kind of an interesting thing. And so what's the takeaway from all this? I would say, first of all, this is a too big of a subject for me to cover in 20 minutes. But understand that the chess pieces are being moved into place. The chess pieces are being moved in place, and the ones that need to be off the board are being taken off the board. So the U.S. is being taken off the board. The Christians in these countries are being taken off the board, whether they're taken out or they're killed. You know, if they're left in Afghanistan, they're going to be killed because they just hang them. They go to the door and they hang them. If they look at their phone, if there's a Bible app on their phone, they hang them right in the front of the house. So we know that's going to happen. If it's a Muslim convert, they're going to cut their head off for traitors. They view them as a traitor to Islam. So that's something to not look forward to, but something to perhaps expect is going to happen if we don't get them all out. Israel is becoming more isolated with fewer friends. I mentioned that. People are skeptical. Iran is months away from a nuclear bomb. I told you all the people that have them now, as does Israel. So it's interesting. We always say Israel is the key. You know, Israel itself is the hour hand. Jerusalem is the minute hand, and the Temple Mount is the second hand. Watch what Israel does. Israel is not going to wait for the U.S. I think it's clear. It ought to be clear to all of us that Israel is going to do what they have to do to survive. Now, without Netanyahu, we're going to see the test of this government. But it is very possible that Israel will go after Iran. And if they do, is that going to be the spark that sets this off? I don't know. But it's going to cause some trouble, I can tell you that. But Israel is ready for trouble. And hopefully we're ready to back them up. But I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. But it's just important because you're not going to see any of this covered in the U.S. news media. They don't care about this. You don't even see much of it covered in the Jerusalem Post. You see a little bit of Israel. But you see nothing unless you subscribe to like the All Israel news post of Joel. Yes, thank you. My extra memory is over here. Joel Rosenberg, who's an author, but he's also an Israeli and American citizen and lives in the Israel now. So it's just going to be interesting to watch Israel and see what happens. I mean, we're going to be watching the U.S., but don't keep a close watch on what Israel is doing, because I think it's going to be important. So we're going to get back to Acts now. It's been a question. Yes.
the United States could be totally taken off the board. We are the global currency today. And with the loss of confidence in our country, our economy can crater overnight.
That's very true. I mean, Bob is just making the point about our, for the loss of confidence in the country, we may see an economy that doesn't do well or craters. And we may see the fact that our currency becomes less important in the world. And that's the whole rise of the digital currency and the, you know, the one world system where they control what you buy and don't buy. I mean, even today in the U.S., you remind me of this, even today in the U.S., there are some banks that will not do business with certain customers that do legal transactions. For example, if you are a manufacturer of weapons and you sell weapons legally in the U.S., you know, I think Remington, think Browning, think all the U.S. handgun rifle manufacturers, some banks will not do business with you. They won't hold your credit card accounts. So what do? You have to find some that will. But that's a precursor of how they demonetize us, where we don't even have, we can't even buy something with a credit card because the banks won't honor us. Maybe because we're Christians. I don't know. I mean, you see the start of it and you just kind of wonder where it's going to go. And I wasn't going to get off into another long rabbit trail. I'm sorry about that, but you prompted that in me. And it is important, Sherry.
Joel has a new book.
Joel, I saw that. I haven't looked at that yet, but Joel Rosenberg has a new book. He has two books out now. A new one that just is about to come out. So back to Acts. let's talk about where we are. Yeah, one more point.
Oil.
And natural gas. In Ezekiel, it says, the Lord says to Gog, and Gog is the leader, by the way, of this alliance, and he's considered to be a Russian leader. Now, whether that's Putin or not, I don't know, but Ezekiel says, I will provide a hook in the jaw to bring you out. And what is that hook in the jaw? We believe that it's Israel's newfound oil and natural gas.
We have windmills.
Yeah, we have windmills, that's true.
Yeah, in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, we have windmills. Yeah, a lot of hot air up there. But, you know, so if you read Ezekiel, and maybe one day we'll take a little detour up there, but you read Ezekiel, they come for plunder, and they come to take what Israel has. Some of them have no idea they're in Bible prophecy. They're coming just to plunder. Russia's probably coming to take oil and gas because they need it. And Israel's got a bundle of it out in the Mediterranean, right off their shore. So thank you for that other diversion.
And the XL pipeline shut down.
Yeah, and the XL pipeline shut down. So we're going to be, okay, that's enough. We're not going to.
But the hurricane is going to hit.
But the hurricane. Yes. Okay. On his way. We could hang on here. So back to Acts.
One more time.
So we saw Stephen stoned to death, and that's our introduction to Saul. We see Saul, and we have not seen Saul before. He just appears, and he appears as kind of a leader of this group. We don't know much about him in chapter 8, except he approved of the stoning of Stephen. Now, we do find out more about him, you know, later on, in both in Acts and in the letters he writes, but we've seen him just appear, and we've seen the gospel spread through Samaria. We've seen the Ethiopian eunuch. So we've seen the gospel spread outside of Samaria and Judea into Ethiopia. So we've seen a lot of things in the 8th chapter of Acts, and the spread was directly due to the persecution of the church. We should never forget that. The persecution of what's happening now will cause some additional belief in people.